The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 1065.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. I am George Williams, your host, and we are on a mission. We're definitely on a mission. We have a very special guest in our studios. However, before we get to her, there are a couple announcements that we have to make, folks, and I think they're very important. One thing is that it is open season for those who are interested in running for political office, either in the county, at the county level, or at the state level, okay? So you have to get a hold of the ALGOP.org, and you can go there and register for whatever position that you want to register for. And we are encouraging everybody, if you want to run, let's get those Democrats out of office, because they're doing no good to this country, okay? No good. So that is the major announcement that I want to make. And that's very important. So register. And you minorities out there who want to run for office, go ahead. We want you to run. Okay? Don't be afraid. We will help you. We will help you and we will guide you. So registration is from today, which is the 4th of January. And it will be over at 5 p.m. on January 28th, okay? We know there's a trick to this. Some people who don't want people to know they're running, they will go, and at the last minute, they will register, you know? And that has happened, and I've observed that myself. But that's all right. That's all right. Already, the Democrats are worried, okay? We look at District 97, Napoleon Bracey. I received a call from a relative of his. Who are you Republicans putting up to run against him? And we're putting somebody up to run against him. We want you guys to run against all the Democrats. I'm telling you, all of them. Let's get out. Let's run. All right, our special guest. Folks, she is a good friend, and she's a mother, she's a wife, she's a grandmother, and she's a judge. She is Circuit Court Judge Debbie Jones. How you doing?
Good to be with you again, George. Yeah. I'm glad that you're making the mission possible. I love your intro. You've always been one of my favorite people in the party. You've just lived such a full and exciting life. We were just sitting here before we came on the air, and you're just telling me all about your days in New York City with Giuliani and DEA.
Yes.
And it's really exciting, and I enjoy my job. I enjoy doing criminal law and criminal jury trials, so it's a lot of fun to hear you talk about it. You have a lot of passion in your voice. And I was a prosecutor doing those jury trials before I became an attorney and took the bench as a circuit judge. So it's fun. It's exciting. You know, one of my favorite TV shows is Law & Order, SVU. So what you want is somebody who loves their job, and I do. I love my job. Just fun.
So what position are you running? I know. I want our audience to know. What position are you running for?
So I am running for the Alabama Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. There is an open seat on the court. It's place 5. Mm-hmm. The justice that is there now is Mike Bolin, and mm-hmm. he's reached the mandatory retirement age of 70. So mm-hmm. the law in Alabama is if you reach the age of 70, you are disqualified from running for re-election for a judgeship.
Right.
So that seat is open. And the primary is May 24th mm-hmm. of 2022, and I ask for everybody's vote and support. If you would like to know more information about me, I have a website. It's Judge Deborah Jones. That's D-E-B-R-A. It's judgedeborahjones4alabama.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And My husband and I have been married 30 years.
30 years.
Today is our 30th wedding anniversary. Right. Yay. Yay. He's homesick with strep and COVID. So sorry, honey. Love you. And I hope you're getting better. But he's in Northeast Alabama and I'm down here in Mobile. So I've been here for 2 days. I was at the Republican Party meeting last night.
Last night, yes.
And then today I was the inaugural speaker for the Port City Republican Women. It was their first meeting and they're meeting at Wentzel's once a month at lunch. Okay. And Jessica James is starting that group, and we're hoping to get a lot of young people involved in politics.
Great.
I hate to spend my 30th wedding anniversary away from my husband, but we are at two different ends of the state today.
Wow. Yeah, he understands. Last time you were here, sitting in that seat, he was
right
over there.
He was here with us. Yes, yeah. Buddy travels with me a lot on the weekends. And you and me and you and Buddy were all together in Coffee County doing some speaking against critical race theory.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Yeah, with Dr. Liu from here.
Right.
And we had a good time there.
Yeah, we
did. You and Dr. Liu were going all over the state at that time, weren't you?
Yes, yes. And that's important.
It is.
That's
to
very
educate
important.
Our voters and tell them what's going on with the issues that are important.
That's true. Tell us a little bit about what you do as a circuit judge, and that's the District 7 up there. Where is that at?
Well, the 7th Judicial Circuit is Calhoun County and Cleburne County.
Okay.
So if you look at the geography of our state, it's right between Birmingham and Atlanta, right there on I-20, the two counties right there.
Right.
And it's a beautiful area. We have Cheehaw Mountains, and it's very picturesque. And we used to have Fort McClellan there.
Right,
fort. You will know that.
I used to stay there when I used to go out and
we
play golf.
About that, right?
Play golf at Fort McClellan,
And now it's a private development
area
of our city. We have a residence and a private golf course and businesses there. So my son actually works on one of the businesses there.
Oh, great.
So,
great.
In my circuit, what I do is I have civil and criminal jury trials.
Okay.
So I have grand juries. I have, Class A felonies, drug cases, child sexual abuse, murder. The week before Thanksgiving, I was in a 7-day murder trial.
Right.
And you start getting nervous when everybody's, got the turkey thawing and wanting to leave the courthouse and go be with family.
Right.
And our jury stayed out until almost 9 o'clock that Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday, I had to bring them back in. And I said, we're just going to have to try again. They could not reach a verdict. So about 12:30 on Saturday, I had to go ahead and declare a mistrial. So they could not arrive at a verdict, and we'll just try that case again. But 7 days, they gave it a good try, and they did their job. And, you think about bringing your citizens off of their job to come in and listen to all of the evidence and be the government and make the decision. And we pay them $10 a day to do that. So I think it's so important that we honor our jury system. And when a case gets tried and it gets all the way to a jury and they reach a verdict, then we need to honor that the Constitution has created that system for us.
Now, whose responsibility is it to conduct a retrial? Who makes that decision?
Oh, like on a mistrial?
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens is the prosecutor, they have an option. They have the choice. That's their prerogative. They can bring the case again, or they can say, well, we've already tried this case. We're not going to prosecute it any further.
Okay.
So when the prosecution makes their decision, then they inform the court. Now, most times it's a case, and they do continue to try to prosecute the case until a verdict is reached.
Right.
So if you have a second jury come in and it's a mistrial, then you could have a third one. You could have a fourth one.
Okay.
You could just go until the prosecutor calls it. But usually on the second time, there is a verdict one way or the other.
Right. Okay, we got another minute before we go into half a minute before we go into our first break. Folks, we're with Circuit Court Judge Deborah Jones, and she's back with us again, and she's running for the Alabama Supreme Court, and I'm backing her, and we'll see what happens. Registration is from today to the 28th if you want to run for office, okay? And so listen to what she has to say, because it's very important, folks. We'll be right back after these messages with Judge Deborah Jones.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. I'm George Williams, your host, and we are with Judge Deborah Jones, and she's a candidate for the Alabama Supreme Court. Judge, we're so glad you're here.
Okay. Thank you,
and I think
so
it's very informative.
Again.
Yes, it's very informative that you come. And you're talking about the court system, which a lot of people don't know. The average civilian don't know what's happening or what happens in the court system. I do, you know, because of the fact of my law enforcement. How is the, how was and how is and how it may in the future affect the court system, this COVID?
Well, when COVID first hit, nobody knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was trying to find their footing, the businesses, the court system, the state agencies. And the Alabama Supreme Court issued an order in April
mm-hmm.
that tried to help with the confusion
mm-hmm.
because a large county had a high population and they deal with things different than a small county in a rural area.
Mm-hmm.
So every county had the authority to run their courtroom as they needed to run it.
Mm-hmm.
But in April, we had an order from the Alabama Supreme Court that halted all jury trials,
mm-hmm.
grand juries and regular juries,
mm-hmm.
civil and criminal. And that was in effect until the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
So for a good 6.5 months, we were unable to conduct the business of the court.
Mm-hmm.
And that got us very far behind, so we are trying very hard to catch up. Now, in 2021, things started shaping up. You know, we had the vaccines. We had people just getting immune by the natural process.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of different things in place. With social distancing, we learned a lot about COVID. But what happened was in February, before the moratorium on jury trials, I began a jury trial in Cleburne County, a
mm-hmm.
small rural county, and we used the entire courtroom as the jury box.
Mm-hmm.
So we just closed the courtroom, and the Constitution says that you are to have an open public trial, and it's as open and as public as you have room for.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was we just closed the doors of the courtroom and used the entire courtroom as the jury box so
mm-hmm.
that everybody could social distance and the witnesses would have room. Well, we got through the first day. We picked the jury. We went through the organization. We started with opening arguments. We got through a whole day of testimony. Day number two, the defense attorney was in the parking lot on the phone, burning up with a fever, could not taste or smell, and I said, do not get out of your car.
Mm-hmm.
Do not come
right.
in to the building.
Right.
So we had to declare a mistrial.
Wow.
And inform okay. everyone that they could have possibly been exposed. And
mm-hmm.
so we began that trial again in May.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to successfully conclude the trial and arrive at a verdict.
Mm-hmm.
And again in May, we used masks and gloves and social distanced and used the entire perimeter of the courtroom so that everybody felt comfortable. You just had to do what you could do with what you had
mm-hmm.
to get the job done.
Right.
And then the week before Thanksgiving, I had a murder trial and our jury was just done. I mean, we gave them all options. Do you want to social distance? Do you want to use masks? Do you want, you know, all of these safeguards? And they said no. They all sat together in the jury box. I mean, very close. So because it was a very long trial,
right.
I had three alternates just in case someone was exposed or, you know, got sick or something. And we did not have to use the alternates for COVID, but we did have to
wow.
use the alternates for another emergency that
okay.
came up.
Wow.
So
wow.
we are getting back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the best we can to catch up. So I think when the weather gets warmer, you're going to see a lot of juries being brought in to actually move the cases along.
Okay.
Now, the court also issued an order that we can use technology where before in the past we were unable to do so. So
mm-hmm.
everybody's learned how to use Zoom
mm-hmm.
and all of those things to have conference calls. So we are actually holding court in the courtroom with attorneys in their offices on Zoom conferences. And my court reporter is sitting in front of my bench, and she's writing everything that is being said. So instead of an attorney leaving their office in Birmingham and driving to Anniston, and one coming from Mobile or wherever they come from, we did a lot of Zoom hearings. And I don't really like that. I like the face-to-face court. But on motions and, you know, dockets, things that you don't really have to judge the demeanor and credibility of a witness, those are acceptable. Now, in criminal court, I have not been using Zoom. But some judges have taken guilty pleas from the prison system on an electronic device like that. I have not done that. I figured I would just wait, and we haven't done that yet, but it is acceptable and within the rules.
Right. Now, Judge, on Perry Mason.
Yes.
On Perry Mason.
And Matt Locke.
You see, the folks who are going to testify, everybody in the audience, and they can listen to each other's testimony. Now, that didn't happen in federal court when I was an agent, especially in New York City with Giuliani was the United States attorney. But are your witnesses – now, after we finish testifying, then we could go into the court.
Yes, that's you know, how we do it.
That's how you do it? Okay.
And the reason is that you want to protect the testimony so that somebody's not changing their testimony to match somebody else's.
Right.
So it's to preserve the integrity of the evidence.
I love to watch Perry Mason. Do you ever have anybody get up and confess? Yes, I did. No.
Wouldn't that be a dream? And what happens is TV poisons our jury pool because the jury expects that you should have DNA in 30 minutes because they do it on SVU, you know. And what happens is you can't even take the case to a grand jury because you are still waiting on the lab and it's been a year and you're waiting on that DNA. So the wheels of justice do move a lot slower than on the television show.
But
the jury does expect things that are unrealistic because they see it on TV.
They see it on TV, yes. Matt Locke.
They do. So the lawyers try to, you know, discuss that with them in the opening arguments. Now, this is not TV. We're not going to be able to bring you this. We're not going to be able to fingerprint, you know, this and that.
Right.
So they try to handle that.
Okay. All right. Now, Judge, tell us about the makeup of the office that you're running for.
Okay, we have 9 justices on the Alabama Supreme Court.
Okay.
It mirrors the United States Supreme Court.
Okay.
And our
which they're trying to change that.
Yes, and I would very much oppose stacking the court.
Right.
We have always been a Supreme Court of 9 justices.
Right.
And there is no reason to change that just because of politics.
Politics.
I mean, our institutions are historical, they're important, and we should respect and revere them and not play with them when the political flavor of the day does not match, you know, what we think it should be.
Right.
So, I mean, we cannot be changing our court system. That's just ridiculous.
I understand.
But our court is 9 justices. We have 7 men and 2 women.
Okay.
And we have 7 lawyers and 2 trial judges. So we're a little out of balance. I would be able to bring my experience as a trial judge to the Supreme Court. And I think that would be very valuable to all the 9 justices on the court. Because what the Supreme Court does every day is they judge what the trial judges do. The rulings that I make on evidence, the summary judgment issues, the charge that I give to the jury, the sentence that I sentence someone for murder or capital murder, all of those rulings and opinions are reviewed by the Alabama Supreme Court.
Okay.
And so I would not have to learn anything. You do not have to have on-the-job training because what I do every day is what they do every
day.
They judge what the circuit judges do in all 67 counties.
So,
and one other thing about our court is we are at large.
Okay.
All 9 seats run and all 67 counties vote. You know, some states have a seat designated for a district, like a congressional district would make up, but we do not do that. It's an at-large vote.
So all of the seats in the Supreme and the Courts of Appeal.
That's
you
right.
Will cover
that's
that
right.
Also.
That's right.
Okay. Good.
So we have 5 on the Court of Criminal Appeals, and we have 5 on the Court of Civil Appeals.
Okay.
On the Court of Criminal Appeals, we have 2 women, and on the Court of Civil Appeals, we have 1 woman.
Okay.
So we have 5 of 19 justices and appellate judges that are women.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, and good. All of the 19 positions are Republican elected officials.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Wow. Okay, we have a minute before our second break here. Now, do you have an opponent?
I do. There is an opponent in the primary.
Okay.
There may be more that qualify.
Yeah, because you don't know.
Today's the first day.
Right.
And there may be a Democrat qualify, but we have not heard of any. I do have an opponent in the primary, and he is a business banking lawyer.
Okay.
Very nice person. But the reason I'm the most qualified candidate is that I have 31 years of actual courtroom experience.
Right.
I have been a prosecutor for mm-hmm. 4 years.
Right.
I've tried all kinds of Class A felonies
mm-hmm.
from beginning to end.
Okay.
I have done appellate work as a criminal lawyer and a civil lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I was in private practice for 16 years, where I have a wide range of experience
mm-hmm.
in all areas of law, family law, adoption, probate, civil, criminal.
Mm.
And then when I took the bench in 2010, of course, I do this job all day long, every
okay.
day in and day out. So I'm in my second term.
All right. Folks, Judge Deborah Jones, who's running for a vacant seat on the Alabama Supreme Court. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. We are continuing our mission. You know, our job here is we are mission-oriented, okay? And our mission is to get as many Republicans elected as possible, get those Democrats out of the Congress, and out of the Senate. We need to take over the Senate and the House to save America, okay? Judge, what do you think about the rule of law as it pertains to the Constitution?
Well, first of all, we have three co-equal branches of government,
mm-hmm.
and we should not have those blurred or confused. The lines
mm-hmm.
are very clear, and
mm-hmm.
the Constitution was written that way. The judges should not legislate from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
They should not make law. They should not write opinions that create law.
Mm-hmm.
They should just interpret the law as it was written by the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're supposed to do is look at the legislative intent
mm-hmm.
when they're actually interpreting a law, a statute that has been written by the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get into trouble. That's where... That's how we got Roe versus Wade in the first place.
Right.
They were legislating from the bench, creating
mm-hmm.
rights that did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying it's a right of privacy. They were just expanding rights. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, Roe versus Wade is, we're going to see a change of the law in our land
right.
quickly
mm-hmm.
because we have the makeup of the United States Supreme Court
mm-hmm.
appears to be leaning pro-life. And it appears that the cases that have recently come before the court, it appears that they will be giving the decision back to these
states mm-hmm.
to determine if they want to have abortion in their states or not, and to determine what restrictions, if any, they would be placing on that.
Right.
It would be my honor and great privilege to serve on the Alabama Supreme Court to make life the law of the land in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that the unborn should be protected. Our Constitution protects the unborn. We already have a huge body of law in our land. Right now, we have if a mother is pregnant and she abuses chemical substances
mm-hmm.
and the baby tests positive for those substances when it is born,
mm-hmm.
then the mother can be charged with a criminal offense, a felony of chemical endangerment that's punishable up to 5 years in prison.
So that's Alabama, under Alabama law.
For years
okay.
has been the law.
Okay.
And also if a... like a doctor accidentally or in some way commits medical malpractice and a child is injured while the mom is carrying the baby, then our Supreme Court has carved out exceptions in the law
mm-hmm.
that the unborn has a right to file, you know, someone can file for the wrongful death of that baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or the injury of that baby that hasn't been born.
Okay.
And also, there's another example. Say you're in a car and you're driving and a drunk driver hits and kills your wife and your unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
You are able to sue for the wrongful death of your wife and your unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
So we already have a huge body of law in this state mm-hmm. that has been around for years that does protect the personhood of the unborn child. And, you know, let's get real. Let's talk
mm-hmm.
about common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the science. We are operating on babies in the womb. We are sedating them because we know they feel pain.
Right.
We can see them sucking their thumb. We have 4D sonograms now.
Mm-hmm.
We are so much further ahead than we were when Roe versus Wade was decided 40-something years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in that opinion, one of the justices wrote that when modern science is able to give us the answer to all of these things, then we should revisit it. Well, that time is now.
It's now.
That time is now. We need to follow the science.
Mm-hmm. Now, that decision is due sometime this year, I think
yes.
around June or July, somewhere
yes.
around there. And it's going to be
all eyes are on
decision.
The court, and
right.
I believe with Amy Comey Barrett being added to the court, that there will be votes there that it will be given back to the states.
Okay,
it's just an exciting time to live. Think of all the people
that's
that
true.
Have fought this battle for years and years and years. So,
right, that is very true, and that's good.
And we have some other issues that'll be coming before our Supreme Court that are very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know this time in the legislature they're trying to get the constitutional carry passed, and I
right.
imagine we're going to see some litigation over that. I am very pro-Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that everyone should have a right. It is their God-given right in the Constitution to carry their firearm, and I don't believe that we should pay for that right. So I think we'll see a lot of interesting things this
mm-hmm.
cycle come before the court.
Mm-hmm. One thing about that, Judge, me being a law enforcement and a military man, the criminals are already doing that.
The laws do not, they do not, they're not a deterrent to them, are
no,
they?
No, no.
I have numerous cases on my docket of a person forbidden to possess a firearm.
Right.
And that case is one of my most, you know, busiest dockets is
right.
we have that felony all the time.
Right, right, yeah, and so it's going to be I think this year's legislative session is going to be very important because they're also talking about gambling under that and some of the other very important issues and the
That's
prisons,
right.
the prison system.
That's right.
Have the feds taken over yet or no?
No. That lawsuit is what has happened is there has been an agreement for some prisons to be built.
Okay.
But I have to say, I'm very disappointed. It does not address capacity.
Okay.
So we're going to have prisons built, but we're still going to have overcrowding. It is not going to fix the problem.
Right.
It will fix a lot of the deplorable conditions,
mm-hmm.
but we still are going to have overcrowding. There's just nothing we can do about that.
Mm.
But it is a step in the right direction. But I don't know if it's going to satisfy the requirements of the federal judge.
Good. Judge, what about posting bail? And some states, New York and some of those other liberal states, they're just letting people out, and they're coming back, and they're committing more
That's right.
and more heinous crimes. You know?
Just
what do
lawlessness
you think about
in
that?
The streets. It's terrible. You have got to have people be accountable.
Right.
And if somebody commits a violent crime and then they can just post a bond and go right back out on the street, how does that protect anyone? And
mm-hmm.
the first role of government is to protect its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't protect your citizens from the most violent offenders, then we have failed as a society.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to be strong on law and order.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the number one thing that we have to do. And a lot of times we'll have people post a bond and go and commit a new crime,
right.
and then while they're on bond, the district attorney will file to revoke the bond, and
mm-hmm.
then we hold them without bond.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are very important aspects of the criminal justice system,
right.
and it's a tiered system. So you get a bond, and you have a bond schedule for the you know, type of crime that is committed. Mm-hmm. And then if you violate that bond, it's taken away. The system that we have in Alabama works.
Okay.
Just to give people a signature bond to go out there and not hold them accountable is crazy.
Okay.
I mean, you look at that Anaya's law. I mean, that guy was a violent criminal. He was out on a bond and, you know, committed another violent offense. But the Constitution does say that every person is entitled to bond on unless it's a non, you know, bailable offense. But there have to be restrictions on it.
That is true.
But that's part of what I do every day.
Right.
I have a docket where if someone is on probation or if they're on bond and they get a new charge or they fail a drug test, then the state will file a motion to revoke their bond, and it goes on a docket, and I have to hear all those cases. So that's a lot of what I do every day, handling those bond issues.
Supreme Court is really the oversight of all the judges, right?
That's right.
The circuit and district judges.
That's right.
Okay. How did that work?
Okay. If you are in circuit court and you do not agree with something that happened under the law or the verdict of the jury, say you think the evidence wasn't there to support it, then you can appeal. If it's a civil case, you first appeal to the Court of Civil Appeals. If it's a criminal case, then you go to the Court of Criminal Appeals. There are direct appeals straight to the Supreme Court if it's $50,000 or more. And then you go through the appellate process. If you don't like what the appellate court rules, then you can appeal it to the Alabama Supreme Court with, you know, an appeal process there. So there's a tiered system. And even in circuit court, if there is a case in district court, they appeal it to my court.
Okay.
And then I review it. So
right.
we all are accountable. I am a court of record. So everything that is said in my courtroom is written, is a written word. And the record, the printed document of all the words that are spoken, go up for the appellate judges to read. Now, a lot happens there because a jury and a trial judge see and hear the demeanor of the witnesses.
Right.
You know, a jury is smart. They can sit back and listen to that witness and say, that person is lying through their teeth.
Right.
Or they can say, well, I think they were really trying to answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you read it in black and white at the appellate court, you don't get any of that.
I got you.
So you're just reading it, and you don't know that the person's inflection in their voice or their shifty eyes or, you know, whatever's going on is going on in the courtroom. So that's why we really have to defer to our jury who sees and hears.
Right.
And, you know, that's what the law says, is that
all
we're
right.
to defer to them.
All right, folks, we're going into our last commercial break. We got to make the money here. And we're with Judge Deborah Jones, who is a candidate for the Alabama Supreme Court. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, welcome back, folks. Welcome back. We're still on this mission, and we're fortunate and privileged to have 7th District Judiciary District Deborah Jones with us. She's a circuit court judge up there, and she is running for the Alabama Supreme Court. So, Judge, we're really glad to have you.
George, you're always so kind to have me here. This is my third time in Mobile with you, and I just appreciate your help and your endorsement. You're a great patriot. I don't know anybody that served in the branches of military that you have.
Well, I've been there. I've been there, done that, you know.
Well, I certainly have a lot of respect for you and your wonderful career. And
thank
we just
you.
Thank all of our men and women who serve in the services.
That's true. And
law
by the way, you have someone.
I do. My daughter. She's 22 years old. She's in the Air Force. And she's serving overseas, and she's engaged to her high school sweetheart, who's a Marine. And they'll be getting married this time next year. So, out of her graduating class, there were like 50, 52, 18 joined the service.
Oh, wow.
So they're a group of patriots themselves. Yes, they are. I'm very
18.
Proud of all of them. That's a lot.
Wow. That is good. Yep. That is really good.
It is.
All right. George, tell our audience how they can help donate to your campaign.
Okay. Well, I have a website.
Okay.
It's judgedeborahjonesforalabama.com. Mm-hmm. I would love to have you all go and see what I stand for. I represent our Alabama values, mm-hmm. pro-life mm-hmm. and pro-Second Amendment, support law enforcement and military, and Christian conservative values. Mm-hmm. And I kind of explain all of that on the website. And there's a place to donate if you would like to contribute. If you'd like a yard sign, just let us know. Communicate with us. We'll be happy to get you one. Mm-hmm. I'm very active on Facebook. It's Judge Deborah Jones. It's a public page. So if you'd like to follow us and keep up with us, you'll see that I'm just about in a different county every night. Mm-hmm. I love campaigning. I love meeting the people and talking with the people. If you have any group of, 20, 25 or more that you would like to have me come and share, I would love to come and get to know you and your group, even if it's just in your neighborhood or in your church, mm-hmm. because the best way to learn what a candidate stands for is actually sit down and talk with them. Mm-hmm. And I would certainly love to do that. I bring 31 years of actual courtroom experience to the Alabama Supreme Court, and I think that's very important when you are deciding who should sit in judgment of the judges that judge you every day.
Right.
So I've been a prosecutor. I've been an attorney. I have sat in judgment of all of these cases. I think that I am uniquely qualified to sit on the court and represent all 67 counties in our state. I'm fair and impartial. Anybody that's ever been in my courtroom knows that I'm not for or against any one particular side or law firm or interest or anything like that. The law is the law, and it is strictly applied. Mm-hmm. And if it's for you, you're going to do well. Mm-hmm. If it's not for you, you better settle your case.
I got you.
And that's just the way it is.
All right, Judge. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to have you some more, okay?
I'll be back. I love Mobile. It's a great place.
All right, great. Folks, Judge Deborah Jones, she's running for the Alabama Supreme Court, and she's asking for your support. All right, Judge, thank you very much.
Thank you, George.
All right, some other announcements. Alabama Minority GOP will have their annual banquet, and that's going to be sometime during the month of April. The Baldwin County Republican Executive Committee on the 24th of March is going to have their annual banquet and fundraiser, and the special guest will be Sheriff Clark out of Milwaukee. You've seen him on at the convention, and he'll be a great speaker.
He'll draw a crowd.
Yeah, so he will be the special guest for the Baldwin County Executive Banquet, and that's going to be on March 24th at the Daphne Arena. What do they call it? Civic Center.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's going to be good. That's going to be good, folks. So we got two great events coming up in South Alabama. And, of course, for the minorities out there, we are going to have a meeting, I think, next Thursday after next, in Mobile, and in preparation for that annual banquet. So we have more and more minorities coming over to the party. Biden and Harris are doing a great job in recruiting for the Republican Party. Last week, Congressman Jerry Carr was my guest, and he made that statement. I've made it many times myself. They're doing a lot of recruitment for us, and they are so afraid, folks, of November, okay? We are going to take the House, which is the Congress, and we're going to take the Senate. The Senate is very important, folks, because of the fact that whatever bill the Congress passed, the Senate has to pass it also. And the Congress has nothing to do with the appointment of ambassadors and judges, federal judges, only the Senate. So that is so important for us to take the Senate to And we'll do just like we did Obama. When his last 2 years in office, he couldn't do nothing. Remember, he wanted to appoint a Supreme Court justice, and we did not allow that, okay? And that's very important in this election, because if they want to stack the Senate, the court, we can prevent that. We can prevent that. So that is very important. That's why we're going to Georgia and helping Herschel Walker. Okay, he's going to take that seat. He's going to take that seat in Georgia. So we'll be doing that. There's a lot of things that we will be doing between now and November. There are a lot of things to help Republican candidates. And New Jersey I grew up in New Jersey. I left here when I was 10, my mother and father, and there are 8 children. We went to Paterson, New Jersey. This past election in New Jersey was unbelievable. I remember when President Trump ran, because of COVID, they couldn't go to the polls. They had to vote by mail. This time, this past November, they voted in person, and we just barely lost the governorship in New Jersey. And but we won the Senate president seat, a truck driver who only spent $1,000 to run for that seat. And unfortunately, the head of the New Jersey Democratic Party, John Curry, was my teammate at Central High School in Paterson, football teammate and track teammate. So I'm getting on him. And he knows that they're not in November. They're going to lose a lot of seats. Okay, so that's good. Georgia, the same way. Arizona, the same way. So Pennsylvania, because of the laws have been changed, you know. So I feel very confident about that. And I do feel that President Trump is going to run in 2024. I do feel that. And guess what? He's going to win, in my estimation. He's going to win. And I'm hoping that Governor DeSantis will be his vice president candidate. Matter of fact, I know he will. Okay. It's looking good. As long as the Democrats keep recruiting for the Republican Party, we'll be all right. And that's what they're going to be doing. All right. So those are my announcements, folks. And we're just about ready to get out of here. Until next week, I say, as I always say, Vicon Dales, everybody.